Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
We're joined by Fianna Fáil's deputy leader Jack Chambers, who was also the Minister for Public Expenditure, who delivered part of today's budget, but was also the campaign manager in charge of Jim Gavin's efforts to become elected as president of this country. And how sore are you feeling today, Jack Chambers, after falling between those two stools?
Well, look, I was very proud to deliver the budget with Minister Donoghue this evening. And
You're hardly proud about the Jim Gavin debacle, though, are you?
Well, look, it was obviously very disappointing in the context of what evolved, particularly in the last number of days. Jim Gavin is someone who has been highly respected in his roles, both within sport, but also in his public service roles, his roles in North Inner City Task Force, and obviously what emerged was very disappointing, and obviously of regret to everyone involved in the party.
Were you fully focused, given that you must have been in recent weeks totally caught up in your role as Minister for Public Expenditure? How were you able to devote time to the Jim Gavin campaign? And is this contribute to you missing the exceptionally important information about Jim Gavin's suitability to be president?
No, I don't accept that at all. I take all of my roles very seriously. I was Director of Elections last year for the local elections and for the general election when I was Minister for Finance. The wider campaign from Jim Gavin involves lots of different people supporting his candidacy at the time and over the last number of weeks. I think that anyone has seen my work in government and in politics knows that I work night and day at any role that I'm given, and proud to serve, obviously, as Minister for Public Expenditure, and in the context of the budget today, I'm trying to make a real difference in what we've set out as part of the budget.
Okay, but given that you missed exceptionally important information about Jim Gavin, and given that there were rumours circulating, and given that questions were asked of Fianna Fáil about the issue in relation to the tenancy back in September, would you accept that you failed in that role as Director of Elections for Fianna Fáil in the presidential election?
I don't accept that criticism, because Fianna Fáil headquarters do an extensive and robust due diligence process with any candidate, and the same applied with Jim Gavin, where he was asked on multiple occasions whether he had any issue with attend, and he was consistent in saying that he didn't. And when any query was put by Fianna Fáil headquarters about any issue with attendant, that position remained consistent.
When did you first ask that, and did you do your own independent investigation?
Well, Fianna Fáil would have asked that on multiple occasions when he was doing the due diligence in August and in prior to his candidacy. Whenever any query came into the party, it was asked on multiple occasions. And then up to and continuing last Friday, where he said he had no record or recollection of the issue until the tenant contacted the party themselves on Saturday, where clearly there was then a difference between what the party had been told and what Jim Gavin had stated. And obviously that's from Jim Gavin himself, it's been a very difficult number of days who was putting a huge effort into the campaign, and obviously he made the right decision for himself. But I don't accept that criticism. Due diligence was conducted in a comprehensive way, and obviously the information wasn't disclosed.
Okay, I think you and your party leader, Taoiseach Micheál Martin, are going to face a difficult evening in front of the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party tomorrow evening. Will it be made more difficult for you after a budget that has delivered nothing in the way of tax cuts for about 2.8 million people?
Well, Matt, I know you're very interested in economic issues and, you know, the geopolitical uncertainty internationally, and that's why Minister Dunhu and myself, in crafting this budget, have had to be cognizant of the wider risks when we're making decisions on further narrowing our tax base, and also the decisions we make in terms of tax policy. And that's why the decisions that we've made from a tax perspective are very much focused on future-proofing the Irish economy. How do we continue to embed the foreign direct investment in the Indigenous business with the research and development tax credit, which Minister Dunhu has expanded? We've made decisions as well to extend the 9% VAT rate on gas and electricity, obviously where affordability of energy is an issue. So we've made decisions really to create the space to really ramp up capital investment in the Irish economy when it comes to delivery of more homes and more infrastructure. And that is about making a long-term difference for Ireland's economic prospects.
You have removed the energy credits and you have not index-linked the income tax bans, which means that in reality, in real terms, people are going to be worse off despite an ongoing cost of living crisis. How are you going to be able to explain that to your parliamentary party members tomorrow evening as much as explaining it to the public?
Well, I would say, like, I know a lot of my parliamentary colleagues have a clear focus as well on issues like child poverty, and we've made significant and targeted interventions to support low-income families and children that are affected by child poverty, something that I think was important for this government and something we want to build on is, again, in next year's budget, a €300 million intervention in the context of the social protection package. But I know people who are working, Matt, they're also cognizant of the risks that exist in the Irish economy, that the infrastructure deficit which is there, and we've ramped up capital investment with €19 billion allocation for 2026, and that's to try and narrow the infrastructure deficit in energy and water and transport, and also in terms of the overall housing supply, why Minister Dunhu made decisions when it comes to the VAT rate for apartments, for example, how we narrow the viability gap to drive supply of more homes in the Irish economy. And housing is a critical issue for, I know, of the 2.8 million workers across our country as well. So, I mean, there's wider choices and trade-offs, but this is obviously a budget where we're trying to stick within the parameters that we set out.
Parameters.
In economic statement.
But hold on a second now. You say you're cognizant of the wider risks globally, but you've expanded government spending by 8%. You have a limit set a number of years back of 5%, and despite all of the warnings that have come from the likes of IFAC and the Central Bank and the ESRI, you've actually managed to breach that 5% limit significantly by going to 8%. You have promised to spend next year about €117.8 billion. That compares to €66 billion per annum before COVID. That's a 78% increase in 7 years. And that's been cognizant of the wider risks, is it?
So actually, if you look at current expenditure, we're moderating it. It's at 6.7% next year. If you add in capital spending, it's higher, and that's why the overall net expenditure figure rises from what you mentioned there. But the wider fiscal path which we're going on, and myself, Minister Dunhu, are working on the medium-term fiscal and structural plan, is to moderate overall expenditure. And you're correct, there has been a big increase in overall spending in the last 5 years through the inflationary period, through COVID. But there's a need to moderate that, and that's why the decisions we've made today have had to involve choices and trade-offs, and also paying for the existing policy decisions which were made. And that's why, you know, that's the outworking of the overall budgetary decisions that we've made for next year, and why the medium-term position will involve further moderation of current expenditure in particular.
Do you think we really can afford to be spending €117.8 billion a year, the state? I mean, how did it get to that from being only €66 billion back in the 2019 budget? Have we forgotten all of the lessons that came from the crash previously?
Well, I don't fully accept that, because if you look at, we'll have nearly €24 billion between our two funds that we've established next year. This year we had
a fallback fund at the time of the last crash as well. It was spent very, very quickly.
But if you look at, say, for example, the decisions we're making on taxation, we're future-proofing the economy with the decisions we're making on the R&D tax credit. If you look at the decisions we're making on infrastructure in our economy to bridge the infrastructure deficit, that all builds the productive capacity of the Irish economy and builds a resilience in the Irish economy. And if you look at a lot of our European comparators, they're seeing much more difficult economic times with flat economic growth. And we still, the growth projections produced by the the Department of Finance today say reflect continued economic growth next year, where some of the headwinds that the Irish economy are facing are being counterbalanced by the investment the Irish government is making in infrastructure in particular. And you know and I know that we absolutely need to bridge that deficit in energy, water and transport and other areas. And that's why capital investment is increasing in our overall spending profile, and that will continue over the next number of years.
Yeah, but how many extra public servants, for example, are you going to add? And what's the public sector pay bill going to increase by next year?
So the public sector, it's about 1.2 billion euro, and a lot of that's reflected in the public pay deal, which was agreed, obviously, in the last 2 years. But the majority of increased recruitment in the public sector is in our health system and also in our education system next year. And I mean, if you look across the different departments, there's a moderation in the increases in terms of overall staffing levels across the public service.
And are we getting value for money? And all of this additional money that you're spending, the 78% increase that we've had over the last 7 years, do you feel that both on the current side and on the capital side, that it has been justified and that we're getting value for it?
No, well, I'm doing the first review of public financial procedures, as has been done in many, many years, because there is a need to get much more value for money and improved outputs. If you look at my budget speech and what we've set out in the expenditure report, I've placed reform as important an issue as expenditure increases, and that was a difficult conversation with every minister in my bilateral engagements with them in terms of settlements, how we try and deliver more if there was nothing given. And that's a conversation I'm pursuing and pushing across government. But on capital, what I'd say is that there are some high-profile examples where there has been overspends, and you are aware of them, and I know you cover them regularly in your own programmes. But I would say, though, as part of the learnings we have from the Infrastructure Task Force and the report I'll set out next month, is actually to rebalance risk, where we need to. We've a level of process now and guidance which is out of control and excessive, and doesn't add the value in terms of the delays that it takes, and we need to back people to make decisions and get it done as well. So they need to look from a capital perspective. We need better discipline and value engineering and design before a project enters the construction phase, and there's obviously some lessons from that from infrastructure that did overrun. But we've multiple examples where there's business case after business case when we all know it needs to be done. So we're going to cut a lot of the red tape and a lot of the process which doesn't add value, and I think that will make a difference in infrastructure delivery. And reform doesn't cost anything if decisions are made where you know there's barriers, and we've got a lot of focus on that, which I'll set out next month.
Thank you, Minister for Public Expenditure and Fianna Fáil Deputy Leader Jack Chambers.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.